On this edition of WBOI's Field Notes, Victoria Jacobson from the Journal Gazette drops by to catch us up on high school tournament season, from football sectionals to finals in tennis and cross country. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Samantha Horton will tell us more about the champion of the inaugural girls flag football season, and I'll close with notes on the undefeated Hoosiers, the Comets, and more. That's all next on Field Notes. Thank you for joining us this week. I'm Zach Bernard. Victoria Jacobson is here to help us get started as well. Thank you for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
Football sectionals began last week. You got to see a thriller between Bishop Dwenger and Leo.
Yes. So Bishop Dwenger comes in as the SAC champ, the first time that the Saints have done that since 2018, come up against Leo, traditionally one of the stronger teams in the NE8. And so we were really excited to see this game at Leo. It was a bit of a rematch of the sectional game from 2023 when Bishop Dwenger went to Leo. Leo won that one soundly, and the Saints have kind of been nursing the wounds from that one for a while. So at first, it was a little bit of a slow game, lots of punts to start off, scoreless for a while, but finally, Bishop Dwenger started to break through, blocked a Leo kick, started to really pull away in the third quarter, and ends up being a kind of commanding 31-7 win. They didn't let Leo score until I believe it was 1 minute 23 seconds left in the game. So really a very, very impressive showing by that Bishop Dwenger defense that had been the stingiest in the SAC all year. Show it again in that sectional opener against Leo. And so the Saints will be going on to face Columbia City this week.
Outside of that one, tell us about the slate of games that we have in front of us this weekend.
Last week was the start of sectional play for our smaller schools, so Class A all the way up through 4A. But it's going to be the first week of playoffs for Classes 5A and 6A, just because they have half as many teams each in their classifications, so don't need quite as many weeks of playoff football. So we'll start off with Carroll at Elkhart, another strong season for the Chargers. Like Bishop Dwenger, they were 6-1 in the SAC, but that one loss came to Bishop Dwenger, so Dwenger takes the cake there. But Carroll will be at Elkhart this weekend. We also get to see Snyder at Northrop. Northrop was kind of a surprise team in the SAC. Well, maybe not a surprise. We knew they were going to be much better this year, but just a huge turnaround. Northrop ends up with just two losses in the SAC. But one of those wins came over arch rival Snyder, who they had not beaten since, I believe it was 1999. So they get that first win over Snyder in rivalry week in week 7. Now they got to do it again. So it'll be Snyder versus Northrop one more time at Spooler Stadium. This one for all the marbles. Homestead will be hosting HSE from the Indianapolis area, and Northside will be going to Goshen. So Goshen has struggled recently, so a positive draw there for the Legends. And then, as we've talked about a lot this season, East Noble, coming off a state finals appearance, finished top of the NE8, undefeated. They will be hosting Southside in the second round here. So Southside has struggled a little bit this year. They are currently 3-7, but they have a lot of really talented players. And as usual, they play in a pretty tough SAC. So that might be a little bit more squirrely for East Noble than a lot of people might think, just based on the record. We also have Norwell at Bishop Loras after both of those teams won in the first round of the 3A playoffs. The final one I'm going to mention here is Adams Central. Get a rematch against Bluffton, the number two team in the ACAC, who they beat pretty soundly in the regular season. But they are going to face the Tigers once again after Bluffton pulls off a wild 39-38 win over Churubusco. So that was a pretty exciting game last week.
Tennis is done for the year, and Joe Garion accomplished something big for Homestead during state finals on Saturday.
So 2 weeks ago, Homestead played for the team state title. Ultimately, the Spartans fell 3-2, but both of those points, those wins, came from Joe and Ben Garion, who are two brothers who play for the Spartans. Because Joe was the number one singles player who did not personally lose during the team state tournament, he gets to advance in the individual state tournament. This most recent Saturday, he won the whole thing, which is pretty remarkable because a freshman has never done it. In fact, a freshman had never even made it to the championship match. of the individual single state finals, but we have a little bit of a trailblazer on our hands here. Joe wins that 6-4, 6-4, and makes a little bit of history and is already a state champion after his first season of high school tennis.
Blackhawk Christian boys soccer advanced to state finals for the first time, and it looks like it took pretty much all they had to give.
Yes, so this was a game that happened at Kokomo, started an hour late because of previous games going into overtime and such things, but there was no scoring in the first half. Two goals almost immediately, so Covenant Christian takes a lead about 37 seconds, I think it was, into the second half, only for the Braves to answer back almost exactly a minute later with a goal from James Neebs. The Braves had to come back again with an equalizer to make it 2-2 with about 5 minutes left in the second half. That equalizer came from Isaiah Davidson, who is a Blackhawk Christian freshman, coming up big in one of the biggest moments. We had 2 7-minute overtime periods, scoreless, and then we had to go to penalty kicks. Luckily, the Braves have a goalkeeper named Isaac Staten, who they are really, really comfortable with in these penalty kick situations. Tall, lanky kid. He had 2 saves during that penalty shootout. Covenant Christian also had 2 of their PKs go high. So in all, they only hit 1 of their first 5 penalty kicks. That meant the Braves didn't even need to take their 5th. So they are advancing to the state finals where they will face Cecina.
And cross-country regionals took place over the weekend. A name that will be familiar to our listeners helped Concordia to the next stage in the tournament.
Yes, so same name, but maybe not exactly what you were expecting. Daphne Weller, the sophomore from Concordia, wins this race. She leads the cadets to a regional title. Again, just a very, very impressive pack of scores. I believe they had all their scores in the top 17, which is really impressive at this regional and the new cross-country format where we only have 3 postseason races and no longer have the semi-state round. Big showing by the cadets, showing that Daphne can be a front runner and that they have a very, very deep lineup. You know, their coach Scott Steffen told me that he believes that they have about 10 runners that they feel pretty comfortable about putting in that lineup. You can only put 7 in the race. So that shows that they really do have a lot of depth. Unfortunately, Mallory Weller, who is the defending state cross-country champion, was not able to run. She was there, but just injury issues, and they said, and again, it appears that she's day-to-day, so we'll see what happens there. But really encouraging for the cadets that they can get it done even when you don't have the lineup that you would love to see out there. On the boys' side, Homestead are the regional champions, and the race was won by Jackson Gackenheimer of Warsaw. That was his 2nd year in a row, so he's feeling pretty good heading into the state finals.
Victoria Jacobson with her eyes on all of the high school tournaments around the area for the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette. Thank you, as always, for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
Last weekend, the inaugural Indiana High School girls flag football crowned its first champion. The sport is considered emerging by the Indiana High School Athletic Association, a step in the process of becoming a sanctioned sport. 78 teams competed in the league this year, up from 27 teams last year. The rapid growth is in part due to the Colts' Road to 100 initiative that has committed to financial support for up to 100 high school teams. Late Colts owner Jim Irsay was a backer of the sport. Colts senior manager of football development Andy Matis says there has been interest in communities that have quickly rallied around flag football.
We gave girls their own space within football to feel comfortable and learn the game, come out and participate with other females. And it's been, I mean, you see it today, the excitement, the athleticism, the competitiveness.
Indiana Public Broadcasting's Samantha Horton was at the inaugural championship game and tells us more.
As the clock counted down the remaining seconds of the game, Penn High School from Mishawaka took home the trophy, defeating Lawrence North 35-12. Penn was one of 78 teams this year to compete in the league, up from 27 teams last year. The sudden growth is in part due to the Colts' Road to 100 initiative that has committed to financial support for up to 100 high school teams. Penn High School senior Emerson Avara says she's played Powder Puff football since her freshman year and was excited to take part in flag football.
As a senior, it really means a lot to me because it's our first year, and we just made absolute history. The girls that I have met have been absolutely amazing, and we've all been supportive of each other.
Avara says she would consider playing a sport in college if the opportunity were to arise. I'm Samantha Horton.
Well, there seems to be no slowing the second-ranked Indiana football team. The Hoosiers beat UCLA 56-6 on Saturday at Memorial Stadium, their second conference win of at least 50 points this year. No other team in the nation has done that once. Head coach Kurt Cignetti credits his staff, most of whom followed him to Indiana from James Madison.
I think one of the keys is we just have everybody on the same page. Like, I know what I want. I got a lot of assistants. We've been together a long time, and we all kind of, like, speak the same lingo.
It also doesn't hurt to have Fernando Mendoza at quarterback. The Heisman Trophy candidate threw two more touchdowns and ran for another in Saturday's win. He's now thrown 24 touchdowns and just three interceptions this season.
He's a mobile guy. He can extend plays and make plays on the move, and made a couple really nice throws and runs. And he's a good player.
IU's high-scoring offense has been getting most of the attention, but their defense has been just as explosive. Linebacker Isaiah Jones was unhappy they couldn't shut UCLA out entirely.
We're kind of bummed they even got the 6 points. We were going for the goose egg, but, you know, you can't always be perfect, and that's just something we'll have to learn from. You know, we'll fix in the film room.
Jones had a team-high 8 tackles and forced a fumble Saturday for the Hoosiers, who have the fourth-ranked scoring defense in the nation, allowing fewer than 12 points per game. Cignetti says the defense's success begins up front.
We do a good job stopping the run. Philosophically, that's where it all begins. Stopping the run, TFLs, and pressuring quarterbacks.
IU improved to 8-0 with the win. The Hoosiers will face Maryland on the road Saturday with a 3:30 kickoff. Number 12 Notre Dame is riding a 5-game winning streak. Following the bye week, they resume play Saturday on the road against 1-7 Boston College. That one also begins at 3:30. Every week I give you an update on the Colts, and it's just been win after win after win. They still possess the NFL's best record at 7-1 heading into Week 9. They're back on the road this weekend to face Aaron Rodgers and the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are coming off a loss last week to the Packers. Kickoff is set right at 1 on Sunday. The Fort Wayne Comets are still on the road for a couple more weeks, and they've been out in Iowa all week for 3 games against the Heartlanders. They played out there last night, they'll practice today, and have 2 more Friday and Saturday, with face-off at 8 p.m. and 7 p.m., respectively. The Pacers are off to a rough start, but they'll get to spend the next week at home with the hope of turning things around in these still very early days of the regular season. 78 games left to play. They'll kick off the in-season tournament Friday, hosting the Atlanta Hawks, before the Warriors come into town Saturday. Monday, they'll host the Milwaukee Bucks, before welcoming the Brooklyn Nets. All 4 games tip off at 7. And the World Series is heading back to Canada for Game 6 Friday night. And while I'm rooting for the Blue Jays, I really hope we can just get a 7th game on Saturday night, because what sports fan doesn't want that? That's all for Field Notes this week. Field Notes comes out every Thursday. We'll see you next week. I'm Zach Bernard.
Music for Field Notes is produced by Jack Ankenbrook. You can support this podcast anytime at wboi.org/donate. You and I are listening to WBOI.